In recent days, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has emerged as, if not the most notorious terrorist in the world, perhaps the most active. Today in Baghdad, U.S. officials confirmed they're taking him seriously, seriously enough to raise the bounty for information leading to his arrest or conviction.
Anybody out there who knows where Zarqawi is, I want to inform you the reward for Zarqawi was just increased to $10 million.
Major General Charles Swanick, commander of the 82nd Airborne Division, speaking in Baghdad today. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly has this look at the man who's believed to be leading the effort to recruit foreign fighters to Iraq.
Here's what's known about Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He's 37 years old. He was born in Jordan. His group, Ansar al-Islam, operates inside Iraq, and the reward for him has now doubled. After that, the facts start getting shaky. No one knows, for example, where Zarqawi is. Various reports place him either in northeast Iraq, inside Iran, or along the border between the two countries. There's also disagreement about the precise nature of his relationship with al-Qaeda. Secretary of State Colin Powell has identified Zarqawi as an associate and collaborator of Osama bin Laden. Vincent Canestraro, a former chief of operations for the CIA's Counterterrorism Center, believes that's a fair assessment.
Zarqawi is someone who never swore personal loyalty to bin Laden himself and had his own rivals within the al-Qaeda organization. But as a result of some of those rivals being killed or captured, Zarqawi has moved up in influence. He is the man out there of the most prominence in the field who's carrying out terrorist operations.
Speaking last year at the United Nations, Powell identified Zarqawi and Ansar al-Islam as, quote, the sinister nexus between Iraq and the al-Qaeda terrorist network. But little evidence has surfaced to support the allegation of a pre-war connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein's regime. This week, Zarqawi was back in the headlines. U.S. authorities confirmed the existence of a letter that they believe Zarqawi wrote to senior al-Qaeda leaders. It outlines a strategy of provoking civil war inside Iraq. Jonathan Schanzer at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy is writing a book about al-Qaeda affiliate groups. He says he believes Ansar al-Islam fighters are serving as the infrastructure for al-Qaeda inside Iraq and that there's no shortage of them.
The corps itself is probably between 250 and 400. 3 to 10 fighters are caught per week coming in over the Iranian border. How many others are coming through, we don't know. So I would probably say that there are several hundred to perhaps 1,000 foreign fighters operating under this Ansar umbrella.
Zarqawi is thought to have played a role in several major car bomb attacks in Iraq in recent months, and intelligence officials say they see his hand behind plots in, among other countries, Germany, Italy, France, Turkey, and Britain, where he allegedly planned an attack using the poison ricin. John Paracchini, who specializes in anti-terrorism at the RAND Corporation, says the use of ricin is significant.
This would put him at a new level, frankly, because no other al-Qaeda organization thus far has been able to work with poison, disease, or radioactive material outside of Afghanistan.
Paracchini notes that only traces of ricin were found in a London apartment, and that whatever was plotted ultimately failed. He says terror cells such as those Zarqawi was allegedly working with have been weakened by increased vigilance since 9/11.
We are in a fundamentally different period now in terms of dealing with al-Qaeda or al-Qaeda-affiliated groups than we were in 2001. They've lost the sanctuary of Afghanistan. Zarqawi has tried to recapture that sanctuary in a part of Iraq that is seemingly ungovernable or beyond the reach of most central powers.
Most experts agree that Zarqawi doesn't have the ability to launch an attack on the scale of September 11th. But his wide-ranging connections and his global ambitions make him a man to watch. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.